Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, seeing we also have are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Precious Lord, we don't want to be wearied and faint in our minds. We want to serve you with power and strength and courage. Father, we just ask today that you would just use that great cloud of witnesses to remind us, Father God, the road to heaven, not always smooth, but it always leads to heaven. Father, we thank you, Father God, for these folks that have come out today. We ask that you would just bless them in their coming in and their going. Father God, we thank you in everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Overwhelmed. Anybody heard that word overwhelmed? Anybody ever felt overwhelmed? Life is just on me. Life is just doing what life do, and I'm overwhelmed. Been there, done it. Most of us have. We understand overwhelmed, the meaning of overwhelmed. And as Christians, the church is sometimes overwhelmed. The world does not play. I heard a preacher say this week, the church is playing checkers and Satan is playing chess. It's stuff like that. It gets in my head. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's like we playing checkers and Satan's playing chess and he got all our pieces. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I read that verse, and automatically, some of us automatically think about some of the stuff that weigh us down. Some of the stuff that we got in our lives that if we didn't have them, we could walk a whole lot quicker for the Lord. And I'm not talking about children. I'm not talking about spouses. Okay? Stuff. The Word of God calls them besetting sins. Anybody heard that word, besetting sins? Just sinful stuff. Look at this. Look at the text in verse 1. Got a few things we want to look at. A few points. I'm going to be done. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I really should read all of chapter 11. I've read it a few times this week. All of chapter 11 talks about all the great men and women of faith and what they dealt with and what they went through. And the Word of God said we can pass by that. We're being watched by them. There are examples. So like if you go to the Hall of Fame in Canton and you see all the buses of all the great ones that perform at a high level in the NFL and they made it to the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame. Well, we got some saved folks Hall of Fame. We got some Christians that are in the Hall of Fame and went through some things. Let me give you just a quick snapshot of some. I wish I could read all of chapter 11. Please read it. But Abel's in there. We know Cain and Abel, and you think about what Abel would say. Abel probably would say this to us, and really just short little phrases. And we know Cain killed him. Abel offered a better sacrifice, and Abel would say this to us there who are struggling. Things don't always go well. Things don't always go well. How many of us know that? Amen. Things don't always go well.
Amen.
Okay? Enoch's in there, and I know Sylvia. Well, she's been waiting for 8 years for me to preach a sermon on Enoch, and Enoch would say this. it pays to walk with God. Amen. It pays to walk with God. Good things happen when you walk with God. Noah was in there. We know Noah had to build an ark in the desert. How about that? Build an ark in the desert. What would Noah say? God will sure keep you through the storms. How about that? Some of us in a storm now. Some of us in a storm now. Look to Noah. Noah would say, God, keep you through the storm. Some of us here now, we get a little older. But Abraham, we know Abraham was an old man when God used him mightily. Abraham probably would say, you're never too old to serve the Lord. You're never too old to be used for God's purposes. Some of us sit here, oh, I'm getting old. And, you know, listen, I heard somebody say it's better to wear out than to rust out. Okay? It's better to wear out than to rust out. You know? I hear it all the time. People say, you do so much, I can't do enough. Joseph is in there. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery. God had great plans for Joseph. You know what Joseph would say? Trials can only come to make you stronger. If your trials ain't making you stronger, then you really need to reevaluate the trials. Because our trials are designed to make us stronger. Joseph's trials made him stronger. And have you noticed that they're all Old Testament folks? I got some New Testament ones I'm going to add in here, and we're going to keep going with this lesson. You know what Joshua would say? Y'all know what Joshua would say. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay? You know what he's saying? It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some friends. It's going to cost you some co-workers. Maybe some loved ones. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Okay? That's Joshua. That's his claim to fame. You know, we know what Rahab is in there. Y'all know what Rahab. She had a lucrative business. She gave it all up. She threw that red scarlet rope down and she gave it up. You know what Rahab would say? Sometimes you might have to give up the business. You're going to get right with God. It's going to cost you something. Here's the whole point of the lesson. If you're going to be right with God, you're not going to get right with God and hold on to all your mess. Okay? Now, I just add a few from the New Testament. They wasn't in that list, but I know there's some great ones in there. David was in there. There were some great people in that list. But Paul would have made that list. You know what Paul would have said? Y'all know. His grace is sufficient. That's what Paul would have said. That, to me, when I think about Paul, I think of two verses that really, when I think of Paul, his grace is sufficient. Vernon, Paul says, his grace is sufficient. Know what else Paul said that resonates with me? He told Timothy, preach the word. He said, Timothy, listen, preach the word. Preach the word. What about Mary? It's hard for me to think about great men and women of God if I don't think about Mary. And when I think about Mary, the Mary that God used to give birth to Jesus, I think what Mary says, my soul. It's good to have Claire back. My soul. Mary said, my soul do magnify the Lord. And that's just something we all should think about. Because does our soul make God big? Soul's like a magnifying glass to Mary. When Mary thought about the Lord, she just made him big. She boasted of the Lord. One more. Got plenty. John the Baptist. Y'all know his famous words, right? He must increase and I must decrease. Oh, I got to give you this one. So get started with these kind of lists and I just start writing on the side. Remember the centurion soldier? Cost him something. He's a centurion soldier, but when he seen what happened to Jesus Christ, I believe when he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Cost him something. Oh, yeah. It cost him something. So you're not going to believe the Lord in this day and age and in the past. It's not going to cost you nothing. All these folks that I talked to had to give up something. They had to give up something. They had to lay aside. Paul, the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews said, let us lay aside every weight that so easily would set us. Let us lay aside every weight. What are these weights? Hindrances. Stuff that gets in the way. Stuff that gets in the way. Stuff that we don't need when we come to the Lord. Some of the stuff we think we need. There's a story in Mark chapter 10. You guys know it. I've preached it. And we've talked about it so many times. Because it's one of those stories that comes up all the time. And in 10:47, talking about blind Bartimaeus. Watch what blind Bartimaeus does. And this blanket represents something that he used, that he needed, that he counted on. But when Jesus came into his life, didn't need it no more. See, some of the stuff that we hold on to, some of the stuff that weighs us down, we're supposed to give up when we come to the Lord. And he said he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 47 of Mark 10. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Sound like you got the right Jesus. Son of David, God of mercy. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Watch this now. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now watch what he did. Watch what he does. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to him. Prior to Jesus coming into his life, that garment meant something to him. That garment was his protection. That garment was like a tent, a covering. But when Jesus came into his life, guess what he didn't need? He didn't need that protection. He didn't need that blanket, because now he could run to Jesus. He had his sight. He could run with joy. He had power. He had the power of God working in his life. It's a picture of salvation when God called blind Bartimaeus. It's a picture of what happens to all of us when he calls us. Amen. We ought to run. We ought to have a little pep in our step when it comes to the things of God. Remember Matthew. Matthew was out of order. Okay, I heard Jake preaching, praying this morning, and when God called us, many of us was in darkness. We was out of order. We was out of God's will. And here's Matthew, totally out of God's will. Matthew 8:21. Now, not Matthew 8:21. Hold on, hold your horses. I'm there again. We come back to Matthew because I know it's in there. It's talking about laying aside stuff. Paul wrote so much about it. In Ephesians 4:22, he wrote this. And I'm talking about stuff. When I talk about besetting sins, when we talk about besetting sins, we're not talking about big sins. We think big sins stop us from serving God. And they do. Okay, big sins will. You start talking about fornication and adultery and homosexuality and all that. Yeah, some of those are big sins, but we can't concentrate on the big sins because we got the little stuff in our lives. See, we get caught up with the big stuff and we forget about the little stuff that will cost you. Okay, Paul writing to the Ephesian believers, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, that former conversation, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, and what Paul's saying is, in us, when we were lost, how many of us would admit we was deceitful?
Amen.
Somebody say, yeah. And that deceitful, some of us still deceitful. Okay. But Paul's saying to these are believers that are struggling with their past. Okay? They brought all this stuff with them. And Paul said, it's hard to serve God when your conversation is full of deceit. Your conversation is full of deceit. had the same problem in the Colossian believers. Paul was right to the Colossian believers. He said, but now ye also put off these. Put off these. Colossians 3:8. Anger. Anybody ever known some angry Christians? Wrath. Malice. He's talking to the church. See, he's talking to the church down in Colossians 3:1. He said, if thou be risen with Christ, set your affections on things that are above. Now he's in 8, he's saying this to believers. Some of them say, oh, well, we're believers. Well, once we get saved, we don't struggle no more. Everything becomes wonderful. No, it don't. When we get saved, the word of God will expose things in our lives that forces us hopefully to deal with them. But these believers, they had anger, they had wrath, they had malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of their mouth. Verse 9, he says, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of God. God gonna use any of us. We got to put off some stuff. Okay? It's gonna cost you some things. You're not gonna, God can't use just some of us in the condition that he finds us in. I found my Matthew verse. It's in Mark chapter 2 in verse 14. Now he's talking to Matthew. Matthew calls himself Matthew. Mark calls him Levi. Okay. Mark was written to the common man. We talked about that this morning. But Mark calls Matthew by his full credentials. You know, you work in a prison. The inmates don't, the last thing you want to do is call them by their first name. You don't want to call, don't call me by my first name. You call me by my nickname and call me by my last name or my number, but don't call me by my first name. Here's Mark writing about Matthew and writing about the cost. Cost. He says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Listen, let me tell y'all something. He says he's the son of Alphaeus, called Levi. He was a Levite. We talked about this week. He was a Levite. What should a Levite have been doing? Serving in the temple. And now he's seeing Matthew or Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting somewhere where he shouldn't have been sitting. At the receipt of custom. You know what that means? He was working for the same people who were oppressing the Jews. He was way out there, sold out. Okay, he was the equivalent of a drug dealer selling drugs to his own family. And that's probably putting it lightly, but he was taxing his own people, and if they didn't pay, he would call the Roman soldiers to go in their house and beat them down, get that money. Jesus seen him, called him by his name. He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus. I like that. And he said, follow me. You know what he did? Got up. He got up and left all that mess. Okay? He left all that mess. Listen. Philippians. I'm going to turn there because I'm going to make sure I get it right. Philippians chapter 3. And again, I say this because God wants to use you, okay? God wants to use you. God wants to use you, but sometimes we have to make some sacrifices. We got to make some sacrifices. And I hear people say, well, I don't know if God want to use me. I don't know if God want to use me. But listen, let me tell you something. God can't use you unless you're right with him, okay? Unless your heart is right with him. Not that you're perfect, but you got your heart right. And some of us say, I don't think God can use me. Yes, he can. He can use every single person in this room. Okay, here's Paul. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought God would use Paul? See, Paul says this in Philippians 3, verse 4. Paul, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have, wherefore he might trust in the flesh. Paul said, I'm more. Sound like Paul before he got saved. He was an arrogant thing, wasn't he? Oh, he was an arrogant thing, okay? Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Okay? I think his brother had it all together. But what things were gain to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but the loss of, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. How about that? What's your relationship with God cost you? Ain't that something? That's sort of in your face. What has your relationship with God cost you? I mean, what's it cost you? Here's Paul again, right to the Philippians. And I just say this because when you study in the scripture, just started flowing. Some of us have a hard time dealing with our past. Some of us can't. Oh, you know, my past was too rough. Well, you know, everybody God used, that whole list of people I named earlier had a past. Most of them had a rough past. Okay, Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus. I mean, if you study Rahab, I believe she right in there. I don't know offhand, but she's a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Okay? Here's Paul. Y'all know this verse. He says, not as though I've already attained. Philippians 3:12. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let me stop there. Okay? Paul wanted to grab hold of the things of God in the same way that God grabbed hold of him. You know, when you apprehend somebody, when an arrest warrant goes out and somebody's arrested, guess what? They are now in custody. They are now wards of the state or the county unless they're set free. They apprehended. Paul was apprehended. All his rights were gone. He only could do now what Christ told him to do. Have you been apprehended? When you got saved, it almost is a picture of someone being apprehended, someone being arrested. See, God may come to some of us like, you know, you see the highway patrol pull somebody over and we start trying to talk our way out of it. Okay? And some of us will think, well, you know, I'm saved. But not if you're not apprehended. Not if you're not apprehended. You know, it's hard to think you're saved if you're not apprehended. Whew. I don't know, Pastor. I don't feel like I'm apprehended. I don't feel like, if I want to go to church, I go. If I don't want to go, I don't go. I do what I want to do. That ain't how apprehension works. Okay, you don't sit here and say, you know, you ain't tell the jail, the ward, hey, look, I want to go home for the weekend. Okay? I don't like this food. Let me order out, you know. You don't have no rights when you apprehend it. You hopefully they don't just throw it on you. Here's Paul. 13. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is people. One thing I do, Paul said, one thing I do, and one thing all of us have to do, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, that stuff can, how many know that stuff can haunt you? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We ought to be reaching. Christians ought to be reaching. If you're a Christian, you ought to be reaching. And you're not reaching. Paul says, I'm reaching for those things that are, which are before. not those things are behind. He says, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press away. Are you pressing? Are you reaching? You feel like that in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit? Does it feel like it's reaching? Or you feel laid back, chilling? Chilling like a villain, just hanging loose. How's everything? I'm cool. You really in this real relaxed state? You know what? Man of God, woman of God, ought to be pressing. Ought to be pressing. Ought to be reaching. Ought to be striving. Paul says, thirdly, not only that we lay aside every weight that so easily besets us, and those weights, like I say, different things to different people. We know what's weighing us down. Think about this. Think about the last reason you didn't come to church. Think about the reason you don't come to Bible study. Think about the reason you don't come to Sunday school. Think about the reason you don't. That's probably not going to fly with the Lord. Okay? Tired. You know, that's one of the ones that Satan used the most, I believe. Tired. There's a whole lot of tired Christians. Busy. Remember I used the acronym BUSY. B-U-S-Y. Busy. Being under Satan's yoke. Satan, last thing Satan wants you to do is to get up early and go to Sunday school. Amen. I'm telling you. I mean, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, 5:30, 5 o'clock. You ever cross your mind and go to Wednesday night Bible study and think about why you don't go and ask God, is that going to fly? I don't know. Let us run with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What's that mean, run with patience? How do you get patience? How do you get patience? Adversity. Trials. Tests. Problems. All that give you patience. Okay? But you know what patience means? Living under the authority of God. How about that? When you living under the authority of God, and I've said it earlier, many are the afflictions of the righteous, you're going to go through stuff. See, so many folks out there teaching, oh, when you get to the Lord, it's going to be so easy. Life's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher as we get older and older and older. But we live under the authority of God. We live under the authority of God, and God gives us patience to run the race. Okay? Patience. He gives us what? Endurance. Okay? Keeps us persistent. Gives us staying power. All these are little definitions of the word patience. Staying power. The ability just to hang in there. So many people just quitting and walking away. I see it all the time. You know, it's just so we live in a world of just hopelessness. How many you run into people like that on a regular basis? Just hopeless. Just have no hope. And that's biblical, because before we were saved, the word of God said we were out God and without hope. Without God, without hope. You meet somebody that don't know the Lord, they're without hope. You meet somebody that don't know the Lord, they're without faith. Okay? And they say, well, I have faith. No, listen. Any faith that's not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ is not faith. It's not faith. Okay? I have faith. I have faith in this person and this person. Let me tell you something. Your faith can't be horizontal. Horizontal faith will fail you all the time. I have faith in my wife, and faith in my children, faith in my husband, faith in my pastor, faith in God. Mm-hmm. And God will give you what you need to make it. He will give you the patience that you need to survive, because in this life, and I know people say, he talk about it a lot. Well, I live it a lot. You're going to go through. And I feel bad for folks that go through without faith in God. Okay? makes it hard. It makes it hard on all of us. Think about some of us that have loved ones that we know don't have faith in the Lord, and they're going through. And we sit back and we talk to them. You need the Lord. You need to get right with God. And they don't. And we know the outcome. We know the outcome. Never, never give up. Christians, never give up. Never give up. Because when you give up, you can say, I give up on God. I don't understand this adversity. What the Word of God? Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. I gave you all these scriptures. Hope you write them down. I see Jeremy, Deacon Jeremy over here writing them down. But read them. Amen. Four or five times. Four or five times. Never give up. You know, there's every animal. The Bible says every animal was on the ark. Think about this. I don't know when the animals got the message that they need to go get on the ark. Okay? But let me give you some numbers. Let me give you some numbers. 0.00363005 mph. Anybody know what that means? Miles per hour. Okay? 0.00363005 miles per hour. How fast is that person or that thing moving? Pretty slow, ain't it? Pretty slow. But according to the Word of God, there was two snails on the ark. Okay? They got there. Now, I don't know if somebody scooped them up. Said the rain started to come. But the point is, these snails got on the ark because they never quit. Okay? In the race that we are faced with is a set race. And we're going to talk about that. It's set. Okay? It's set. You're going to run it. You're going to run it. And you can't tell the person who set up the course how to set up the course. Your course is different than mine. Amen. Okay? But you got to run it. Okay? You got to run it. How do you run it? With patience. What is patience? Under the authority of God. Okay? Now, that snail, those two snails knew they were getting on that ark. Listen. You know, and it's hard to talk about patience without reading James, the book of James. James says this, okay? He said, my brethren, and count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay? Let faith have its perfect work. You're going to suffer. You're going to struggle. You're going to go do some things. I look around the room. All of us that went through. Okay? All of us that went through. And we got some more going through to go through. Paul, writing to the Romans, says this in Romans 5:1. He said, therefore, being justified by faith. What's that mean? Being made right by faith in God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace. How about that? Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You got all the big ones in there. That's a heavy hitter verse there. You got faith, you got grace, you got hope, you got glory. And not only so, we glory in tribulations. How about that? How many in here have that kind of faith? Glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Who's the us? The brethren, those who have accepted Jesus Christ by faith. I don't know. Let me read a verse. I'm still on verse number one. Might not get off of it. Watch this. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, okay? And the sin which so easily beset us, the sins which so easily beset us. There's so many sins that easily beset us. And I think those are like excuses. Okay? You know, people say, oh, you know, I would, but. What's the but? What's the but? I would, but. And let us run. Let us run. How? With patience. The race that is set. Now, I talked about that. That race is set. Okay? I mean, Cindy and I, over the last 10 years or so, maybe even longer, we've been doing the MS walk. We got a couple of people in our family with MS. And so we do the MS walk, and we buy shirts, and we go out and walk. And we don't know what the weather going to be like the day of the walk. Okay? It hasn't been good, but maybe once. Okay? Well, we do the MS walk, and sometimes, once it was at the Canfield Fair, another time it was at the Eastwood Mall. We can't call the people and say, well, you know, we want to have it closer to our house, and we want to have it on a nice day. Okay, so we can wear our shorts, and I can wear my, you know, my little Under Armour shirts to show off my biceps. See, we can't set it up. You can't set it up. I can't set your course, okay? Kiera, your course is different than mine. But guess what you got to do? You got to run it, okay? You got to run yours. I can't run it for you, okay? And everybody in here got a course, and we may not like it. And somebody's course may be smooth. Not they? Man, it's smooth. They got a smooth course, okay? And some of us got a rough course, but we got a course. And the word of God says that is set before us. Okay? That means you got to run it. You got to run it. Maybe 90 degrees. Maybe rain, freezing rain, snow. We didn't walk the MS walk in that weather. Okay? But guess what? Got to run it. And to run it, will be the MS walk. You can walk as many times around as you want to. Some folks get one lap and that's enough for them. Okay? But think about some bigger courses. Think about the Boston Marathon. You're going to run that one. Guess what you got to do to run the Boston Marathon? You got to train. You got to train. You're just not going to run the Boston Marathon. Okay? You got to train. And guess what? You don't know what's going to happen. A couple years ago, they had terrorist attack at the Boston Marathon. Blew some people up. Guess what? Did it stop the race? No, they finished that race. They didn't cancel it. Well, the Boston Marathon is canceled. Let me tell you something. Some bombs may go off on your course. Okay? Some stuff may go off on your course, but guess what? You still got to finish it. You still have to finish your course. And the writer of Hebrews says it is a set course and you got to finish it. Okay? Let's get to the interesting part. I want to finish this course. How do we finish this course? How do we do this? I'm talking to believers, talking to saved folks. Listen, wherefore, seeing also you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. And let me tell you something. There's some folks in there. You read all of chapter 11 of Hebrew. They went through some stuff. Folks got sewn in half. It talks about all the folks that refused to deny, refused to get off the course, and it cost them something. People lost their loved ones. They lost their lives. Okay? Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, here's where it gets good. Looking unto Jesus. How about that? Looking unto Jesus, the what? Author and the finisher of our faith. Okay? He started faith, he finished faith. He gave you the faith to begin, he's going to give you the faith to continue. He's going to give you the faith to finish. And he's the one that we look to. Mm-hmm. Okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We think about Peter. Peter, when Jesus was walking on water, and Jesus said, Peter, come on out of the boat and walk with me. Okay? Peter was walking on water. Peter was walking on water, folks, okay? What happened? He dropped his phone. See? Well, listen to him. He took his eyes off Jesus. And he started worrying about the storms and worrying about the problems and worrying about what's happening over here, worrying about his wife and worrying about his kids and worrying about his husband, worrying about his job. Let me tell y'all something, folks. There's a whole lot of stuff happening to get you to take your eyes off Jesus, because that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants a church full of folks who don't have their eyes on Jesus. Okay? You got the eyes on everything but Jesus. Everything but Jesus. Mm-hmm. Everything but Jesus. And he tells us, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And again, he had a course. He had a course. Anybody want Jesus' course? He knew nobody could handle his course. And Peter said, you know, I want to run your course. And Jesus said, you can't run my course. You can't run my course. You can't drink out of this cup. Amen. Okay? See, Jesus had a course. He had a course. Let's talk about his course. Look at it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How about that? How about that? You know what was on his course? A cross. A cross. His course meant that he was going to come into this world. Hear me say it all the time. He was going to be born of a virgin. He was going to live a sinless life. Thirty-three and a half years. And he was going to die on Calvary for the sins of the world. Okay? And then he was going to be put in a grave, a borrowed tomb, and he was going to stay there for 3 days, and then on the third day he was going to rise with all power and ascend back into heaven. That was his course. Nobody could run that but him. Nobody could run that but him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? Watch. Who for the joy that was set before him, he called it a joy. See, we look at our course and, oh, this is, you know, this is bad. This is bad. I'm on a bad course. No, listen. It's your course. It's set for you. Embrace it. Okay? Here's Jesus being our example. He's our example. Despised and ashamed. You know what that means? They would crucify the Jews. Outside of Jerusalem. So anytime you went into Jerusalem, you see him on the cross. Okay? Now Cindy and I went to the play, the Rising Star, and you know, they put the boy on the cross and everything. They had a big pair of drawers on him. let me tell you something. They ain't crucified nobody with drawers on. Okay? Jill's like, what's draws? Underwear, like a big diaper, yeah, Jill. Okay, but this, when they said despise and shame, they crucified them naked. Okay? And they crucified women too. They turned them around, crucified them backwards. They so compassionate. Wasn't the Romans so compassionate? But see, they would sit them outside the gates and everybody would walk by and say, that's what happens to criminals. And then our Savior is on the cross despising the shame. That's what he did for us. Sitting on the cross outside the gates of Jerusalem despising the shame. Then they would throw stuff at him on the cross. I mean, they walk by and hawk to him and spit on him. And that's our Savior. Despising the shame. See, you think about what you're going through. You know, oh, listen, if somebody find out this, that they teasing me at school, they picking on me. You know, somebody said I did this. Or listen. You got a great example. Sitting at the right hand of God, on the throne of God. That's our example. And he's despising shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's he doing up there? making intercessions, sitting up there making intercessions, really giving you strength to run your race. How about that? Amen. That's all an intercession. Listen, Sister Claire, I know you're going through. I'm up here at the right hand of God, making intercessions for you, giving you just a little strength. Okay? Amen. Just giving you enough strength to get through this. Same thing with all of us. Okay? David, Lord, what y'all dealing with your parents and everything. Listen. Don't turn to man, turn to Lord. Give me strength to deal with this. Amen. Give me strength to deal with it. And all of us that are going through. God is sitting at the right hand. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, making intercessions for us. And you know what? He know what you're going through. He ain't left you here. Vernon, you're sitting here, you're going through some stuff. Listen, you don't know this. Going through stuff in prayer like it's so much sweeter. Prayer like it's so much better. If you know the Lord, he's sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Watch this now. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Now that's an interesting verse. Because the sinful, godless, satanic world has always messed with God. Messed with God. Well, trying to stir up people. Trying to get us stirred up as a church. Realizing what has gone on in the past. Realizing all the great saints of Hebrews 11. All the great saints of the New Testament. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts of your people. Stir them up. Sometimes you got to get stirred up. And how many of us in here? There's some of you women in here that cook. You know, you got to stir that stuff. What happened to everything fall to the bottom of the pan? You don't stir it up. Some of us need stirred up. Some of us need stirred up. You know what, Peter? Peter said this, and it sort of goes with the lesson. I was writing this down early this morning. Peter says this in 2 Peter 1:13. I thought this was interesting because I'm looking for the scripture, stir up the gifts. And Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts. But Peter, we talk about Peter in Sunday school. He was a pastor, teacher, and he was telling his church. He says, yea, and I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. To stir you up. That's the job of a pastor. People look at job description of a pastor. Job description of a pastor. It's hard to find, but here's one I found this morning. He says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm pastor, as long as I'm preaching. It's Peter who's on the verge, 2 Peter, of getting crucified upside down. He says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up. Stir you up. Stir you up. Okay? How? How's this verse finish? Watch what it says. By putting you in remembrance. Remembrance of what? Of what God has done for you. Of putting you in remembrance of a Calvary and the death, burial, and resurrection. That ought to stir you up. If that don't stir you up, listen, me running around here, I can run up and down these pews. Y'all know how them old preachers back in the day would do. They was good at it, too. They walked like they walking on water. Walk the pews. Let me tell y'all something. That ain't stir you up. That might get you excited. But to be stirred up, is to be energized, to be stirred up. Paul said, Peter says, by putting you in remembrance of what God has done for you. Does that stir you up? Does that stir you up? Amen. Think about it. I'm looking around. I know I call some of you guys out. But does that stir you up? Claire, does that stir you up? When you think about the goodness of God. When you think about what he's done for you. Rita, when you think about what God has done. And you've been through some stuff. You've been through some stuff. Think about going through all that stuff without God. Think about that. Remember, I was telling you guys about the house fire in Warren about 10 years ago. And all the babies died in the fire. All the babies died. And I went to the funeral. And they had, Toy, you from Warren, you remember this. They had two babies in every casket. They had a baby in the casket with the mother, I believe. And I'm sitting here like, it's horrifying. And you know what the most difficult part of that whole thing was for me? Is that woman, and the woman had lost all her babies. And she didn't die. Now I'm coming back to me. All the babies in the caskets. She didn't die. You know what troubled me the most about that whole situation? She didn't have a pastor that knew her. She didn't have a church home. She didn't have a choir to sing for. She didn't have nobody in their life like that. And I'm sitting here, how does this woman deal with this? How does this woman deal with this? So I said, I come in and I purposely try to stir you guys up for your need of the church. Your need of the church. We need the church. We need the church. I'm not saying we need the preacher. We need the church. We need the church. We need the word of God. Amen. We need the word of God. See, the song says, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord.